Get ready.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 192 of the Weekly Cooldown and it is June 9th. Full transparency, I forgot that it was episode 192 and I just remembered. So this is how fresh this episode is. welcome back to our Pride Month series. We are, of course, interviewing, talking with gay gamers, trans gamers, everyone who's underneath the Pride umbrella here to get out of the rain and into the rainbows. I'm so bad at this. Anyway, we are here. Paul's not here this week. We are under a really weird kind of situation here in New York. I'm not sure if it's reaching all the way down in Texas, but it is reaching here in New York. There's tons of hazy smoke. I hope you are safe if you are outdoors, if you have a lot of stuff to do outside. Hope you're wearing a mask. I know that that's weird to say after we've been kind of relaxing mask policies, but I hope you are wearing a mask if you are outside and you are seeing hazy, smoky conditions. Again, this is our Pride Month series. We are going to dig into things happening with gay gamers this month. Once again, as I said last episode too, this is kind of an unprecedented Pride month. It is an unprecedented Pride year. We have seen a lot of crazy legislation, pushback, kind of a rolling back of freedoms and rights for gay and trans people around the country and also around the world. As I mentioned last week, the country of Uganda actually passed some very harsh anti-gay laws, which would include in other things up to 20 years in prison or the death penalty. So we are in a really, really weird, really backwards kind of place right now when it comes to gay and trans people. But we are going to try to both balance the good with the bad, right? We're going to try to do some really deep discussions here centered around gay folks in video games. And we're also going to try to celebrate, right? Because that's what Pride is all about, celebration. And also, like, a little bit of rioting. I'm kidding. Joining us this week, Jeff. Jeff Brutlog. Please tell me I'm saying your last name correctly.
You are saying it 100% correct.
Great. Jeff Brutlag is back. Twitch streamer extraordinaire.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Me?
Yeah.
I'll take it. Okay.
Welcome back to the show. It's been a while. How are you?
It has been a while. Things have been good. Did a big move the end of last summer to Seattle. So that was there's a chunk of time that was just poured into getting over here, and like it was like a 1,000-mile drive. But like now that I'm here and now that I'm settled and now like that we're having another summer, things have been so nice because summer here is like paradise. So it just kind of like it feels like things are setting into place in a way where I'm like, this is probably going to be home.
Very nice. That's wonderful. We love that. So you are a Twitch streamer. You also are a writer. Tell us about some things you're doing. What are you working on? How's Twitch streaming?
Streaming has been interesting if you've been on Twitter as of late. But as far as like my own personal sort of streaming and gaming world, things have been pretty good. I've been kind of trying to figure out like what kinds of games I want to keep kind of pushing forward with on the channel. Like I've always loved playing like several different types of games. Like mainly like I have such a history of like loving RPGs, Like I've played Final Fantasy games since I was like 6 years old.
Yeah.
So like I have such a love for those. So right now I'm actually doing a playthrough of Final Fantasy X because I've noticed that's like that's one that like resonates with a lot of people and seems to be like one that people really, really enjoy watching through again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been exciting to get back into that. Recently kind of figured out like a way to get horror games come very regularly featured. So now I have like a Fright Day where I do horror games. I try to pick ones where I can do like start to finish in the same stream. So like a movie night sort of thing with the community, but doesn't always happen because sometimes horror games are long and sometimes I get really confused and I
miss
one tiny little pixel that I was supposed to interact with. And then they're like, oh yeah, you know that like one little thing you didn't think you could even touch. Yeah, well, actually you could.
Yeah. The puzzles. I love survival horror games, especially for the kinds of puzzles you get in them, right? Yeah. Which are actually really in depth if you have to sit down and think about it, but are also like, could you have made this a little easier just for me? I would appreciate it.
Some level of like gentle guidance. Like I love when there are other characters like around you that are like, maybe there's something like this. And then it's like, oh, actually,
yes,
you're right. That is something I should look for, huh?
But instead they're just like, you're Leon S. Kennedy trying to piece together a picture from two triangles and a guy looking at a square.
Right. And of course, like in the classic Resident Evil 4, I feel like in the remake, Ashley was a little more helpful and she would make comments when necessary. But in the old one, she just stood there.
Yeah.
Like she's not looking around. She's just like, I'm here. I look pretty. You know what? To her defense, she's standing there and looking pretty. So you know what? Like that is a job and she did it well.
It is a lot of effort to look good and also run away from enemies all the time.
True. And also scream.
Scream queen.
You're right. She is a scream queen.
She's an absolute scream queen.
I didn't even think about it until you said it like that. And I was like, wow, yeah, you're right.
Ashley's a total scream queen. She is a bigger scream queen in the remake, I think.
Oh, yeah.
She gets a lot more lines, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she is. I think they did her, I dare say, flawlessly. Like the way I wanted to see her in the original. Like she had a role. She was interesting. And she had a whole arc. Like she, you know, we only get to see so little of her, like just one game of her so far, but like she had a whole story arc and I thought that was great.
You get the sense that she kind of toughened up by the end of it.
Yeah.
Like having her kind of go, like when you play her in the original and she's going through her own level that they design where you're playing as her, she's just kind of there. Yeah. But when you're doing it in the remake, she has a lot more verbal cues that are cueing you into how she's feeling in the moment. Mm-hmm. She's obviously very scared. And then she kind of comes out of it like, oh, not only did I brave that and then get captured, but not only did I brave that, I did it really well. Mm-hmm. And even toward the end, she seems to be getting a little bit more brave. She's like piloting machinery and stuff like that. Like, you get the sense that like in all of one day, maybe 2 days, she's like at Leon's level all of a sudden.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I found that so much more. Like, I love horror that feels more like, you know, we're all just people trying to get through things. Mm-hmm. So like that was a prime example of just her adapting to her situation. Like, sure, she had to take a little bit because she was rightfully terrified of everything. But then once she's like, okay, things aren't really going to get less scary, it was just like she kind of stepped up. And that's way more realistic than letting Leon do literally everything.
Yeah. I agree entirely. Well, good job, Capcom. You did it.
Absolutely.
You really did it. We are here for Game Month. It is Game Month, as I said like 3 times already. And the theme for this episode is representation in all forms. When do we like it and when do we hate it, right? We spoke a little about it last week, but sometimes the representation in video games is really fantastic, and other times it's needing more or needing less. So briefly, let's talk about some games that feature gay, lesbian, and trans characters. Are there any that come to mind?
Ooh, I'm trying to think. Yeah, you know, a lot of my a lot of games that I know of that like have queer representation anymore, honestly, are it's one of those like it's cool because I know a lot of indie games now mm-hmm. that have a lot of mm-hmm. queer representation, and while it would be nice to see more of that in AAA games so that, you know, the representation can reach more people, it's actually really nice to see a lot of indie games have such heartfelt representation because there's so much. It's not to say that love can't be put in a AAA game, but historically we don't always see it. Whereas in indie games, like there's like this, you know, smaller team putting together these, you know, this representation, and there's a passion in getting it right. So the most recent one I played was actually a demo for it. So it'll have a full release at some point. Oh my gosh, it was called Wrestling with Emotions.
Okay.
Basically, you're like, you're a wrestler and you've been like a big fan the whole time, like your whole life. And then like, you're trying to get into wrestling, and you meet like the owner of the wrestling league and all these people, and it's super queer and super like, it reminded me of like an early 90s. It was set in the 90s too, so it makes sense. But it mm-hmm. was like, it looked like an early 90s like Nickelodeon cartoon, essentially. Okay. And it was, I thought it was really cute. And
that's
it was
fantastic.
It was nice because like, in like my opinion, where representation is so strong is when it's just, it feels just naturally integrated. Like it's mm-hmm. not, look at this gay.
Right.
Hi, gay.
Hi, gay.
Happy Pride Month. So, and it was nice just to have all these things just, you know, so easily integrated in there, to where it was just like, oh, this is just a natural, normal part of this world, and nobody's made a spectacle of, nobody's like made a weird other for being queer. It's just mm-hmm. it's just a thing.
Nice. I gotta check that one out. Wrestling with Emotion.
It had so much personality, and it was so fun. And like the joke, the wit in it was so, so good. Like it was, you can tell they had a lot of fun making it.
That's, it just looks and sounds fantastic. I'm actually looking at some pictures of it now.
Yeah. I will just for, you know, disclosure sake, I was paid to do the demo, but even if I was not paid mm-hmm. to feature the demo on my channel, I would have 100% recommended it to people.
There is a wrestler by the name of Effy, EFFY, who does basically gay wrestling, right? He started a league of his own, more or less, and does wrestling as a openly gay man, which is not something we see often in wrestling. We have some gay wrestlers in the AEW. I don't think we have many in WWE. I could be wrong about that, but Effy is really kind of like pushing the narrative, so to speak. And I'm wondering if he knows that this game exists. It would be really cool to like, hey, Effy, like, look at this.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, it seems so natural to make wrestling more gay, because
it's super
naturally.
Queer. Yeah. It's very queer.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree with that. That's really cool. I did not know this game existed. Now I'm happy that I asked this question. Happier. So very good, very good, very good. We spoke a lot about it last week. There are now fighting game characters, of course, that are gay or trans, right? Testament in Guilty Gear Strive is non-binary. Bridget is a trans woman. There's a bunch in the Granblue Fantasy Versus game, a bisexual man, a bisexual woman, two trans women, two lesbians. There's tons of it in all types of video games. Assassin's Creed 2 is often listed as having a gay character. Apparently, it is implied that Leonardo da Vinci is gay based on some historical evidence as well, but we're not entirely sure about that. But it is kind of hinted at slightly. But yeah, there's tons of characters that are gay, trans, non-binary, what have you. And you're right. A lot of the times they get introduced in a way that is just natural, right? That is just part of the general idea of the game, right? You're not real. No one is using the word or the phrase "I am a trans person" or "I am a trans man." It is just implied or mentioned that, like, yeah, I'm a girl, and that's it. And everyone's like, cool. But I have to wonder sometimes about the implementation of these characters. So for example, so many of our LGBTQ games are romance games or visual novels. And that's not to say that it's a bad thing. Right. I think that that is a way to kind of break the mold, and it's actually a great thing to have more examples than less examples. But I wonder how it feels maybe to you when, let's say, like a Cyberpunk 77 is, or 2077 is actually a great example, right? Where you have your character, which can be, you know, gay, transgender, non-binary, but then you have a set number of choices, let's call them, right, for partners, right? You can have the lesbian partner if you're presenting as female. You can have a gay partner if you're presenting as male. Often these games take the route of everyone is bisexual. So like those types of things, how do you feel about the way those are implemented?
I have a couple kind of opinions I feel like at the same time could kind of work well with these. Cause like when you're saying, like, you know, there's, I haven't actually played Cyberpunk 2077, but a lot of people I know who did play through it really liked it. So even though, like, there was some press around it that was kind of not as good as it was before it was coming out, it seems like the game itself still had some substance. But that's something I always think about when it comes to, like, representation, especially when it comes to, like, romancing, is Dragon Age Inquisition. Because they're, like, from what I understand, there are a few, like, actual, like, bisexual characters. Like, you know, no matter what gender you pick as your character, you can still romance them. But there are two characters specifically, I believe Dorian and Sarah, who are only same-sex romanceable. So whereas, like, I've seen games where it's kind of, and heard of, you know, the phenomenon of, you know, every character being bisexual, and on some level I'm like, you know, that's, I think that's kind of nice, because as queer people playing the game, it kind of makes us feel like there are no bars. We can we can come in and we can play this game literally however way we want to. We can romance whoever we want to because we want to, and that's it. But then there's some level of like a reflection of reality, I feel, when there are games where, you know, you can only romance them if you are a certain sex. So I like that Dragon Age Inquisition did something like that. And it would be, I don't know how many games kind of followed that since then, but it would be nice to see more things like that, because if we're trying to kind of make representation in a way that kind of reflects reality, that's going to be the reality, is like, we might see someone in a video game being like, oh, I want to romance them. And that may be like, sorry, I'm not into your gender, you know? And it's like, that happens in real life. So like, to see that happen, you know, and, you know, it'd be nice to see that happen to straight people too, you know? So like, they try to romance someone they're super into and they're like, actually, no, I'm hella gay. So, you know, cause like, why not? Why not? It's basically real life. And if they have to deal with that in a video game, oh, well.
Absolutely. That's kind of the answer, I guess, I was kind of gravitating towards, is that, like, on one hand, it feels very good, right, to have the same conversation as everyone else if all the characters are bisexual. Where we're all fawning over one person or another because we can all have access to romancing this character. That's like intensely inclusive. But then on the kind of negative side, strangely, of inclusivity, you have like, I tried to romance this guy and he rejected me because he's straight. I tried to romance this lady and she rejected me because she's a lesbian and I'm straight. So like, it's inclusive both ways, right? You get the shared experience both ways. Mm-hmm. And I love that about games where they have either or. Right. And I really enjoy the example you chose where you're like, yeah, I got rejected and we all got rejected and it happened. You're right. It does happen in life. Like we all have like, I don't want to call it suspicions, but that's what the internet calls it. Right. Where we're like, is that person gay? Are they into me? And then we shoot our shot and find out, oops, nope, I was reading those signals incorrectly.
Yeah, we can read those signals. Those signals can feel very strong when exactly. We're very attracted to somebody yes. too. So
it's very affirming in a way for us to share the experience one way or another. So thank you for answering that question.
Yeah, it's one of those like I don't know that there's a right or wrong kind of a thing. It's kind of like a, you know, what do you prefer as a player? And, you know, what's the goal of the developers here for the representation and how it's going to impact the community kind of a thing?
Right. Now, we spoke about this a little bit, but I want to know, is there too much or too little, right? Is there a line? Mm-hmm. You said that in the wrestling with emotions game, there is really no big overt mention of one's sexuality or anything like that. It's just kind of like it is what it is.
Right.
Do we need to affirm that more, right? Do we need love scenes? Do we need sex scenes? Do we need the developers to use the phrase or the word, right? Like where does it become like annoying, so to speak, right? Where do we push back a little bit?
Because my initial response was going to be, yeah, all the above, do all of
sure.
it, kind of a thing, because why not? But I, in the sense, I think, yeah, if a lot of representation, especially because, you know, if these are fictional, you know, especially when it comes to video games, like, more likely than not, there's going to be some level of suspension of disbelief in mm-hmm. general because it's a fictional world. But if we're trying to feel truly represented, like there has to be some level of like how would someone like this in a world, and something I always think is a good like default to set to just for representation is that being queer in the game is just normal. It's just mm-hmm. a thing. Like, this isn't like something where like our people's rights or like, you know, anything is up for debate. That's just they exist
mm-hmm.
and everyone just knows that they exist. Just representing them how they would in life, you know, maybe, you know, there's a way for them just to have it come out naturally that they're into a guy, you know, seeing somebody walk in and it's a same sex attraction there and they're just like, well, you know, there's little mm-hmm. ways that you can make it look like it was just a thing that happened. And yeah. like I'm sure like there could be some way, like struggling with identity is, you know, I feel like just because of the world we live in, it's always going to be something that we think about. Mm-hmm. So plot lines and things around that and kind of trying to come to terms with that, I think can always also work well, because I think that still reflects the current kind of political climate around this. But
yeah,
I'm saying this personally, for me, like I know like anyone else might want something different when it comes to representation, but it would be nice just to kind of see us more just as people, because at the end of the day, that's who we are. Our flaws right. are, you know, are things we're good at, the things we want to be good at, our worst moments, our best moments. Like at the end of the day, we are people. And I think it would be the best just to see us reflected as people going about our lives and chasing after our goals and stumbling a little bit, maybe, but you know,
right.
we're gay and we're just doing our thing.
Mm-hmm. The reason I asked this question, for all transparency for the listener as well, I actually saw in a gay gaming group someone who was talking about how they wish, I can't remember what game they were playing, but they wish that a certain character had, you know, the developers had told us somehow or shown us somehow that a character was gay. And a lot of people kind of got uproarious about it because they were like, well, what do you want? Like a sex scene or something like that? And I guess in my mind, I'm thinking, can it work for every video game? And the way that I think about it is, well, sure it can, right? It doesn't have to be, you know, a full-on sex scene. It doesn't have to be like some forced line of dialogue. It could be as simple as what they did with the original Resident Evil 2 and 3, where they implied that Jill had a boyfriend and a dog by just putting pictures on her desk. Something as simple as that, right? You can actually add it into a survival horror game if you visit a character's desk and they have a picture of them on their wedding day with another guy or another girl or something.
Yeah.
Like, there's such simple ways to sneak that in there.
Yeah. So many people have smartphones nowadays looking at the background and like seeing it. Maybe it's the two, you know, same-sex couple, the two, they may, whatever character playing their partner
looking very organic ways to do it.
Yeah.
That are not quote unquote in your face, right? Because there, because there will be a lot of that on the internet. And that feel real to everybody, to anybody, to us, to straight couples who do the same thing. And it makes canon that the character is gay or bisexual or whatever. Yeah, I just think that there are ways that we can do it, and there shouldn't really be a line.
Right.
We'll know, I guess, when we're gut punched.
Right. You know, it's there's a feeling. There's like it you know, when you're watching something, when they kind of feel like they have to make a big declaration about the character, more so than kind of organically, you know, bringing it in as like a defining moment for their characters, like. We'll know it when we see it because we'll be like, that didn't feel right as I'm trying to get to know this character. I don't know. Like the, yeah, like you said, it's, there's so many ways for it to be organic, and I'll say it, it means that having more queer people in your, behind the scenes and, in the writer's rooms and the dev team, you know, that'll help a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What are the genres should we be exploring? We have the sometimes the odd action game here and there, a la Cyberpunk 2077. We have RPGs, we've got visual novels. Where do we need to like really break the glass ceiling, so to speak?
Like you said earlier, like it sounds like there are a lot more queer characters in the fighting world. And I feel like in the competitive scene in general, I definitely feel like what I hear from people is that there seems to be a lot of like, that's when the biggest uproar seems to happen is when there's a character introduced in a competitive game where they're gay, where they're, you know, trans, where they're queer in some way. That's when, for some reason, people start having a problem. But it's like, you're not the only one that plays video games. Sir, yes. Anime profile picture on Twitter.
First name, bunch of numbers.
Right. So, like, that's one of those things where, like, if you're really going to throw that much of a fit over a gay character simply existing in your competitive video game, don't play that character, I guess. I don't know. Like, why are you making it everyone else's problem?
Right.
Like, it means that more people are going to want to buy this game. It means that this game is going to continue to last. For you to be able to play it longer. So I don't know.
Yeah. It means diversity of your competitive pool, right? Because gay people play games very well.
Yeah.
Not me personally, but like, you know.
I do know many a gay who do seem to play some horror game. But I'm mainly thinking like Dead by Daylight. I've watched a decent amount of like community play that, and I'm like, you know,
I don't understand why we've gravitated toward that, but also I think I do. Like, I can guess.
There's, you know, yeah, there's something very inherently queer about the whole game. Just in a way, like, there's just, it's fashionable. It's horror. We naturally seem to gravitate to horror. And then there's, I don't know, sometimes like I look at the killers in a way where I'm like, yeah, they're scary, but they're also kind of goofy in a way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's like looking at trying to find a way to cope with this scary thing by like trying to think of like what's hilarious about it.
I think we've accomplished this episode, the notion and the ruling that gays love horror.
We really do. We really do. And I feel like in horror games, like they would be nice to see more queer representation. And I feel like we're getting there. We're kind of making some wiggle room there because the Quarry actually had oh my gosh, there was Dylan and then oh my god, it's been forever since I played it. So who were the two in there that were had like a little flirting moment? It was Dylan, what was his name?
I know nobody's names.
Great. That's how long since I played it. I played it one time through, twice maybe, but all the names are escaping me. So, but yeah, there was some like same-sex flirting in there. Like there was, it was, and it was just like your typical kind of like teen slasher sort of thing. And it was, yeah, again, not really like, there were moments where you can tell like they were like, look at these characters flirting, but it wasn't about the fact that they were same-sex flirting. It was just about the fact that they were in like these 18-year-olds into each other. And it played out like a teen rom-com, basically.
Right, right, right. With a little horror, a splash. With
a little bit of horror, it's great.
A splash, like a nice latte splash.
Ooh, yeah. Oh my, well, we're bringing it back around to gay stuff. You know, we love ourselves an iced latte, a nice coffee.
A cold brew.
Yeah.
Cold brew.
Yeah, it's summer, so cold brew is back on the menu. Not that it ever wasn't, but.
Right, I drink cold brew year-round. I'm a year-round cold brew person.
That's perfect.
Gotta have it every morning. So now that we've explored everything mostly to do with romanceable characters, representation in most, if not all forms, when we hate it, when we like it, it's time to talk about Twitch. Because this week, Twitch did some weird stuff. So,
sure did.
No blurb. So I'm going to go off the dome. Twitch put out some, let's call them branded content guidelines. That's what they're calling them. Mm-hmm. That basically said you are not allowed to really dig into your sponsorships, right? Sponsorships, of course, are very critical to the way streamers make money. Aside from the ads that Twitch runs, there's also, you know, Twitch partners and partners with like Logitech and that sort of thing. And a lot of those partnerships require or ask of you to display certain things on your profile. They put out a whole bunch of guidelines regarding that and some other items, including you not having certain gambling products. No political content, including paid promotions of politicians, political parties, or issues of public debate. What does that mean? Most of the content that they were essentially trying to prohibit mostly came across as vague, really. Vague and kind of tone deaf, I guess, is another way to put it. Some of the other community guidelines read hateful no promotion of products and services, hateful products or services such as products that promote hateful stereotypes or include offensive slurs. Only part of that is truly clear to me. Illegal products and services such as selling, advertising, or trafficking drugs, firearms, counterfeit goods, or other illegal goods and services. Again, like half of that, maybe I understand what you're talking about. So very vague, very strange things coming out of Twitch. This afternoon, as of this recording on June 7th, they released a statement saying, yesterday we released new branded content guidelines that impacted your ability to work with sponsors to increase your income for streaming. These guidelines are bad for you and bad for Twitch, and we are removing them immediately. Sponsorships are critical to streamers' growth and ability to earn an income. We will not prevent your ability to enter into direct relationships with sponsors. You will continue to own and control your sponsorship business. We want to work to with our community to create the best experience, blah, 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 blah. So a true apology, if nothing else, right, from Twitch about their very strange guidelines, the kind of tone deafness of it all. Any first thoughts from you?
So that was an interesting day. So yesterday, as of this recording, day before, it was certainly I had whiplash, let's just say that, because I, you know, seeing that, and I was like, yeah, no, for real, like, you know, not every community can afford to throw enough, you know, tips or gift subs or anything on this platform to sustain every single creator. Like, that's just not a feasible ask. So sponsorships are a huge part of like what makes us be able to continue to produce more content. So seeing that initial announcement, I was like, that's scary, that's not okay. And like, what do you want us to do then, Twitch? Like, you need to do something for us then. So, but then seeing like they're kind of, oh no, that was meant for actually. It was very like, oh my God. I just remember thinking like somebody really fucked up then. Like somebody did some very bad wording or didn't know how to talk about these sort of things. But then to kind of come out now, and now that we see that now they're apologizing for real, like, oh, it's like you were going to do this then, like this was going to be against creators. And at the same time, coupled with the fact that they are now like they're recognizing that and they're like, we shouldn't have done that. I'm like, now I'm kind of at like a, okay, Twitch, like I'm waiting to see what they do next. The thing that I think for me is I've been on Twitch for a really long time. So like for me, I'm like, I don't want to have to consider another platform. I know like for, you know, content creation and self-employment, it's one of those things where like, if I want this to be sustainable, I have to be thinking about that at least, or at least putting some effort into other platforms. And the thing that's kind of given me the most faith right now is the Twitch ambassadors who have been talking to Twitch recently, which, you know, up until now, they have just kind of been figureheads for Twitch, but now it seems like they're actually consulting them about choices. And I'm hoping that this continues to be a standard, because I don't think they would have had that apology had the ambassadors not been like, this is bad for streamers.
Right. Absolutely. This is
bad for Twitch. Yeah. So that's where my faith is lying, if anything. And I'm hoping that apology is the start of, you know, them hopefully it seems like a crapshoot at this point. I know for a lot of people, I am recklessly optimistic all the time because it keeps my head up, but I'm hoping that this is the start of things changing and being more on the creator side.
Yeah. It does seem like they are completely like trying to revamp. I'm sure they will come back with new wording eventually. Right. It does seem like they're trying to revamp something, right? Like there must be some issue that they are trying to either in Twitch's pocket or somebody else's pocket,
right?
Where there is some kind of issue with content creation, right? I don't know personally how like weapons and alcohol and tobacco, you know, those things can negatively affect youth who watch streams, right? People who watch streams who might have addiction issues, right? Gambling products are not supposed to be prohibited, based on these guidelines that are now repealed. But political content made me, like, I zeroed in on that immediately. Especially because we are in Pride Month. And again, at the top of the show, like I said, there's a lot going on with regards to politics and people's lives right now.
Right. What was the official thing that they said about that?
Like, so the wording on there is, additionally, we do not allow the following products and services, including weapons, adult-oriented products such as pornography, tobacco, certain financial products, which I assume was like NFTs and multi-level marketing, things like that. Medical facilities and products, again, kind of iffy, if you ask me. And again, they didn't really go into much detail there. But then political content, including paid promotion of politicians, political parties, or issues of public debate. I kind of understand paid promotion of politicians and of political parties, right?
Right.
There's enough of that in politics already. It does not also have to be on Twitch. But issues of public debate. Why?
That seems to be, I would hope that they didn't put that in there for, you know, especially issues around, you know, queerness, especially with what's going on around the country and around the world, because it's kind of something that we can't avoid talking about right now. It's
right,
something
exactly.
that's on everyone's minds, and to be able to just to kind of be like, oh no, we're not talking about that actually because Twitch told us not to. It's what kind of precedent does that set?
Right. It feels very anti-woke, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Mm. It feels like someone said, well, we don't want to be considered woke. We'd better put this in here. And it also feels very... It feels, again, very vague in that if I were to be sponsored or something by, like, the Trevor Project, would that be a violation, right? Is that political to you, or is it just the Trevor Project raising money? Or, you know what I mean? There's a lot of question marks there, and I think they were obviously very hasty about this.
Right.
But I also think that there is... a line that they are potentially going to cross eventually if they try to adopt these prohibitions again.
Right.
That a lot of people are going to be like, hey, but hold on.
I think that's something that, you know, something that's been a consistent issue. And I don't know of any recent, like super recent or even like in the last year, I would have to go look for it. But, you know, something historically that's been a problem on Twitch is like inconsistent moderation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certain groups, you know, certainly get hit harder than others. Right. When it comes to moderation, some people can get away with the wildest things and still be on the platform. Whereas, you know, like I've seen a drag queen who had like painted on cleavage get banned, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, because they're like, you're inappropriate dress. It's like, that's not even a boob Twitch. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can see be that coupled with something like this could cause some problems, because if someone on the moderation team, you know, especially someone, you know, we don't know what their views are. We don't know what they're doing to moderate. Like, we don't know, essentially. So if they deem, yeah, like having you sponsored by somebody, by a queer organization, like I've worked with it, gets better. I've done like official, you know, streams as an ambassador with them. So would that have been something that's also threatened, you know? And that's something that definitely needs to be addressed and specified, because, yeah, that can cause some major problems for the queer community of Twitch, which I don't think they would want, considering... they, you know, they have a Pride Month campaign that right now that I'm also a part of, I have been a part of in the past. Like, so it's clear that front facing, they want to be supportive of communities like this. And, you know, we all just had Asian Heritage Month, you know, they do Hispanic Heritage Month. They did Black History Month campaigns. It's very like, you can tell they want to look like they are on the right side of history, but that means that on the back end, they have to make sure that they are also being on the right side of history.
Right, exactly. Yep. Well, Twitch, like I say with all companies that do some stuff like this, get it together.
Mm-hmm.
Hurry up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a lot of this became a little messier than it needed to be, and I have to wonder if it's part of the 400 employee layoff that they had recently. Like, I don't know which teams got affected by that, but the the little optimist in me wants to hope that these are just, you know, mishaps from either new employees or people who are now having to wear new hats in the company. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that it's not still causing the impact that it's having and that they should still, like you said, get it together.
Which I hope ChatGPT did not write these.
Oh my God. If they did, if it somehow came out that they did, I would, that's it.
You heard it here first, by the way, if it does. I broke the news. I didn't even know about it, but I did it.
I would have a whole stream just ranting about that because I just, that's not, nope. I would, that's it. That would be the final straw. My mental breakdown era would start then.
At GPT out here coming for everyone, something or other.
God, unfortunately. God.
Unfortunately. So for our last bit here, I just wanted to quickly discuss anything you might be excited about with Summer Games Fest. So as everyone knows, the only thing that is on par with Pride Month is the kind of video game showcases that always come out in the summer, usually around this time. And Jeff Keighley, of course, is bringing back the Summer Games Fest. E3 is dead, RIP E3. But Summer Games Fest is alive. June 7th, June 8th, June 10th, June 11th, and June 12th, we are looking at a whole bunch of things, starting again June 7th with the Guerrilla Collective. That has already happened by the time this podcast airs. Same thing with the June 8th showcase featuring Jeff Keighley. That will have already happened. The Devolver Digital showcase will have already happened, but coming up Saturday June 10th is the Wholesome Direct 2023, the featured game show, the Xbox game show with Starfield Direct on June 11th, the PC gaming show, which is always really fun, on June 11th, Ubisoft Forward on June 12th, the Capcom showcase on June 12th, and probably more somewhere down the line. So we're looking at a pretty big start to the week and also into the weekend and also on Monday, right? Happy Monday. So what are we excited about here? Anything?
You know, as an official Capcom creator, I already knew I was going to be co-streaming the showcase that day. So definitely excited to see what we're getting there just because, you know, we had Resident Evil 4 Remake not too long ago. So hoping that that means that there we're going to see some stuff on Separate Ways so we can play as Margaret.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like,
she is easily my favorite character in the series. And so I'm very excited about that.
It is great.
Right. The last time I watched the Wholesome Direct, I really enjoyed it. I thought they came out with a lot of really neat looking games that I thought were kind of unique and kind of stood out, I think, from any other like indie games I've seen before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Devolver's always impressing me, honestly. Like I don't think I've played or seen a Devolver game where I'm like, that looks like I would never like it. They've mm-hmm. all just been so good. And I'll probably, you know, if anything, I'll probably keep my eye out for a lot of these. But yeah, just to see some more game. Yeah, I just love gaming news. I just love hearing more about games.
Yeah. The PC gaming show is supposed to have 55 games featured. Wow. We know that a lot of them are going to be like indie titles, but a lot of those indie titles end up being really good. So I'm excited about the PC gaming show. As you said, Capcom showcase. As a Capcom partner person, can I tell you to tell them to remake Code Veronica? Is that a thing? Can I do that?
So I'm gonna bring that to them immediately because I was also playing the original recently, and as much as I love the story and like how kind of goofy the voice acting is and everything, it was making me laugh. It was so mean to me. It was this. I've never been bullied harder by a video game.
Code Veronica is the game that makes or breaks Resident Evil fans, and I love that entry into the series. It is arguably the hardest, the scariest, mm-hmm. and also somehow the worst game, but I love it. It is my favorite, and I need them to remake it. I need more Claire Redfield.
Yes.
Claire is like arguably my favorite character, the best character in Resident Evil. And I just want to see, she's beautiful red jackets.
Yes.
All the way. And yes. I just need more Claire. So please and thank you.
Yeah, I think I want to say I didn't see it myself, but I want to say somebody said something about Capcom kind of like doing an official, like, what would you like to see remade sort of thing. So if you or, you know, anyone else is listening, I'll try to find it too. But anyone listening, like, you know, if that's something you want to see, get it in there, because I would love to actually play through Code Veronica.
Yes. Oh, did you not finish it?
I got to like what I think what apparently was the second disc, and I just remember feeling like I cannot do another one of I think I got to a point being like, that was the halfway point. Oh no, that's it. No, I gotta be done. For my mental health, I gotta be done.
That's fair. That's valid. Okay. So we're gonna kind of wrap up the show very quickly. Let's uplift a gamer or a streamer that we know in the community. Who you got on mind? Who's fresh on the dome?
You know, if you don't mind, I got a couple actually.
Sure.
So recently I met, actually through the It Gets Better program, the ambassador program, I met a lovely queer streamer named Totoro Babe, who's actually also a local here in Seattle, who now cuts my hair.
So, that is fantastic.
Right? So like she is like equally as delightful. Like she reminds me of like a cool young hip aunt. And so that. Like, and that's the vibe she has in person. That's the vibe she brings to her channel. And I think anyone would feel really just like at home there. I also really have to give like a huge shout out to Elix, who is a wonderful, hilarious Hispanic drag queen on Twitch. She is also one of the leaders of the Twitch Latin Guild, which I was invited to be a part of. So, and I think her and the rest of the leadership who's kind of elected to help run it have been doing a phenomenal job. So
yeah.
I would, I cannot recommend her enough. She does a lot of DBD, a lot of horror, Totoro Babe, kind of more like a cozy kind of games. Mm-hmm. So both ends of the spectrum, both very queer, both so much fun in my book.
Fantastic. I've got a few myself. First, Kiki X Baby.
Love Kiki. Kiki
is a lot of fun. Very fun to hang out in their stream and just kind of shoot the shit. Friend of the show. Well, I guess three friends of the show, right? The friends over at The Weird. The Weird is not a stream. It is a actual play podcast experience thing. I was a guest on it. I played a very cool character by the name of Jordan Majors. It was a lot of fun being on the show. It's a lot of fun to listen. I'm listening back even as we speak. All three players / DMs / makers of The Weird are non-binary. Fantastic humans, always helping me out with stuff. I think two out of three of them are graphic designers as well and have made assets for my stream. So fantastic humans. I love them so much. And I'm going to leave it there until next episode because I'm going to forget people and I don't want to forget people. So as we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
Ooh, the most recent game I've been playing that has kind of just blown me away. I was provided a key for it. Homebody, actually developed by the Game Grumps. It is to explain the premise a little bit. It's about this group of friends who goes to kind of a weekend out together at essentially what would be considered like an Airbnb. All kind of get together and it's a time loop where at the end of the night they all get murdered, but they have to kind of figure out how to go about letting everyone know that this is going to happen. Because for some reason, nobody wants to talk about it. And I'll leave the presence there.
Amazing.
And the storytelling, the character development, the representations of like having anxiety and like other mental health issues have been really relatable and honestly very, done so candidly to the point where you're like, wow, I have been in a situation like that.
I love time loop. I love time loop things too. So
it's very interesting. I've had such a fun time thinking about it while playing it. I highly recommend it.
Good, very good, very good. And finally, to finish off this episode, please let us know where on the internet we can find you and if you have anything else to plug.
Yeah. I am at Jeff Brutlog everywhere. Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You can find me on YouTube as well. As far as things to plug, visit my channel. I've been being featured for Pride Month. So, you know, just the more people hanging out, the more queer vibes we can foster and just make the whole platform gay.
Absolutely. Perfect. All right. As always, you can find me at Comic Jace Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. I don't know why that's still in this copy. Visit WKCooldown.com. I don't go on Facebook. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Remember, it helps the show grow when you review the show anywhere. Spotify, I think, now has reviews. Podchaser has reviews. Leave a review somewhere, please. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And remember that you can support your favorite charities and support this show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian. Follow Corgian on Twitter at Doghouse Corgian, DoghouseCorgian. Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. Our intro music is done by Riki. Find Riki on Twitter at Dog_Noise, DoG_NOISE. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
And I'm Jeff Brutlog.
See you, and we'll see microphone. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.